You guys can go ahead and have a seat. We're going to jump right into God's Word. If you have a Bible, open it up to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter what? 19. It's funny, as I was saying that, I was like, ooh, I hope it's Luke chapter 19. But yes, it is. Yeah. Luke chapter 19. Welcome to all you here that made it in person. Welcome to everybody joining us online. If it's your first time here, or maybe you missed last week or the last couple weeks, my name's Corey. I am the lead pastor here, the interim lead guy. Basically, I like to say I'm one of the pastors because leading God's church is never about one person. Jesus is the pastor. We're all the under-shepherds. We just get to follow him. And we have an amazing team here with Pastor Joel, Pastor Chad, Abby, Jarvis. Can we just give them a hand? They're like, I mean, this like whole COVID crazy season has been crazy for all churches, but just to come alongside this team here, get to know them a little bit better, and see how they've continued to serve the community through these services and outside of these walls and doors has been refreshing and inspiring for me. Before we jump into Luke 19, just a couple quick updates. If you don't know me, I get to pastor, I actually also pastor a church in Kingston, Jamaica called Zeal that meets simultaneously with us right now. We can't meet in person in the Caribbean for probably another few months, so it worked out. So I can be with you guys here in person. So again, shout out to all my Caribbeans, Jamaicans, Wagwan, my brethren. Yeah. You're like, what did he just say? It's some patois. We'll teach you when you come down to Jamaica. And then on top of that, I get to oversee our international churches in the Water's Edge family. Overflow is one church and a family of churches. And tomorrow evening, I'm saying this so you guys can pray for me, because like I believe in prayer. Y'all believe in prayer? Ooh, see, right when I said that, the light came on. That was a note, that was a sign right there. But no, I really believe in the power of prayer when we lift each other up. And so tomorrow night, I'm actually flying to Kiev, Ukraine, to spend the week with our church, Transformation Church, over there in Kiev. I'll be preaching with them on Sunday. Pastor Peter and that church have launched 12 daughter churches outside of that church. So we're kind of doing the research to see. Isn't that amazing? Could you imagine, like, think about the future of Overflow. Like, this is reality. This can happen. Imagine us planting 12 daughter churches around the region of the Midwest outside of Overflow. Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh, come on. Oh, I mean, you can't have the name Overflow and not be overflowing out into the community, right? And the surrounding areas, like that just gets me stoked. So he did that. So we're going to partner with them and kind of love on them and see how we can get a little further involved. And then not to be overdramatic, but I'm actually flying from there to another country, which I've been advised not to name because they don't want it online, because there is some risk involved in going there. And we're bringing Bibles. Like, literally, I asked the pastor there that we support, is there anything we can bring for you? And he was like, could you please bring Bibles? So Overflow, how cool is it that in like 10 days, you're going to be supporting bringing Bibles to people that don't have them, right? But yeah, y'all, if y'all just keep me in your prayers, there's a lot going on in my life, a lot going on in all of our lives, right? Like, it was kind of a crazy week. Woo! You know, just to address the elephant in the room or the donkey in the room, right? Like, I think we got a new president. We'll see. But regardless of what side of that aisle, the political aisle, you stand on, one thing I said in our first service together, and I'll say it again today, one of the things I love about Overflow is our diversity. Not just like racial diversity, which I am so grateful for that. I'm a white boy that does ministry in Kingston, Jamaica. Come on, like, I'm just comfortable where it's a mix. But not just our racial diversity, our ethnic diversity, our socioeconomic diversity, and even like our political diversity. I love when a church is more about Jesus than our preference. And I just wanted to encourage somebody today. Maybe you woke up and you heard the news and you were like, yeah! Maybe you woke up and you heard the news and you were like, no. What, either side you fall on, I want to encourage you today, our leader is still on the throne. Our leader has still got it all under control. And I do want to encourage this too, regardless of what side of the political aisle you fall on, pray for the leader. If you weren't a Trump fan, you should have been praying for him all the more. If you were, you should have been praying for him a ton. If you are a Biden fan, you should lift him up like crazy. If you're not at all, you should lift him up all the more. The Bible commands us as Christ followers to pray earnestly for our leaders. And so I just, again, thank you guys for being that kind of church. That's all the politics I'm going to talk. Some of you, I could just see it in the room. It's like, what's he going to say? I don't know. We're going to jump into Luke chapter 19, and the premise of our time in this passage today is really how to take advantage of every opportunity, how to, let's say, share our faith, tell people about Jesus, invite people to church to make the most of the moment. The Christianese way to say it would be evangelism. Evangelism just means sharing the good news, telling people about God. By the way, I love that phrase. I'm kind of ADD when I preach. I'm all over the place. My mind connects weird dots. So it's a great tool for coming to church, because you can come to the first service and I have the same notes and I'll preach an entirely different message the second service. So it's a great opportunity to double dip and get a little bit more of what God has. But our job is to be good news spreaders. The Christianese word is gospel. That's actually not a Christian word. The word gospel was a Roman term, and it was the term that Caesar would use to say he had conquered a new territory. It was a term that Caesar would use to say he and Rome were the victors. And so you see how political Jesus was, even in his terminology. When Jesus came around Roman territory and said, "I have the gospel," that was very subversive and revolutionary, because Caesar and Rome was like, "You don't have the gospel, we're the gospel." And Jesus was like, no, let me tell you the real gospel. And so what we're looking at today in Luke chapter 19 is an example of sharing, of getting to know people in the heart of loving on them and bringing them to salvation. And before, one more thing, everybody watching online, maybe here, maybe you're checking this whole thing out today. I love Chad got up here and was like, "We're all about Jesus," and we are. But some of you may be like, "I'm not yet." And I just want to say thank you for coming, and we're really glad you're tuning in, and we're really glad you're here. It does not matter what you believe. You can always belong at Overflow Church. And here's a lot of churches get that backwards. Yeah, like a lot of churches, it's like if you believe what we believe and you behave the right way, then you can belong. We like to flip that in Water's Edge and at Overflow and at Zeal. We like to say no matter what you believe and how you behave, you can belong. And because you belong with us, then you'll start to hear the message of Jesus and believe. And then the Holy Spirit will work on behavior modification. That's his job. He convicts, not us. Our job is to love. The great Billy Graham once said, "God is the judge." Yeah, amen. God is the judge and the jury. Our job is to love. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict. So if we're here, if you're here, if you're watching online, we love you. That's our whole message today. So, if you're ready for the scripture, say yeah. Luke 19, starting in verse 1, it reads, "He entered Jericho and was passing through." On the count of three, everybody say passing through. 1, 2, 3. Passing through. You ever just passing through? Right? Some of us just passing through this morning. You came because you thought the girl was cute, or you came because mama made you. Like, some of us are just passing through our days. That was really sweet, by the way. When I said the girl was cute, he looked at her. Well done, man. We all are taking notes. Sorry to call you out, but dude, that was good. Joel, where were you at? Like, no, I'm just kidding. But we all have moments and days and times that we're just passing through. Maybe at work tomorrow on Monday. Maybe in the kid drop-off line on Tuesday. The grocery store on Wednesday. Even on the outset of this message, I would just challenge us to ask ourselves, where are we just passing through? Luke chapter 19, verse 1, Jesus was just passing through on his way to Jericho. And behold, verse 2, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Now, I tried this in the first service. If you grew up in church, do y'all remember the old song about Zacchaeus? Anybody remember that song? Oh, thank you. Because in the first service, it was like four people. I guess it was like a Southern Baptist thing. I grew up Southern Baptist. So I'm going to start it. And if you know the song, finish it with me. Zacchaeus was a... And a... Was he... He climbed up in a, for the, one, see, yeah, good job. And yeah, there's more of it, right? So it says, that was my remix version, right? I'm a DJ on the inside, I wanna be. So there's this song about this guy we're reading about, and it says, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And that comes from the next verse, because it says, he was a chief tax collector and was rich, verse 3. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. And then, like, for some reason, church came up with this song to help us remember Zacchaeus. And it says he was a wee little man. That's offensive. First off, I think we're going to get to heaven, Joel, and he's going to be like 5'9". And we're going to be like, "Oh, bro, you're not that short." Second off, I'm kind of short, and I wouldn't want anybody calling me a wee little man. That's just not, like, wee little guy. Like, what? Get out of my face. And then second, like, we do that for no other Bible characters, right? Like, we don't call out their one negative attribute in song, like, King David was an adulterous murderer and a murderous king was he. Like, we don't do that. We remember that he was a psalmist and a great warrior. Or like, Apostle Peter was a lying denier and he denied Jesus 3 times on the night of his death. Like, we don't do that. We remember their good things, and poor Zacchaeus just gets labeled a wee little man. Anyway, that was just a rant, little to do with the sermon. So he ran, verse 4, so he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Verse 6. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Ooh, I love that. Like when the presence of God steps into your life, what is your response? You know it's Jesus if there's joy. You know it's Jesus if there is joy. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm not talking about butterflies. I'm not talking about roses and sunsets, Hollywood. I'm talking about joy. Like no matter what's going on in your life, you know you have a passion and enthusiasm and zeal for life because there is joy found in a king. I love some joy. He received him joyfully, verse 7. And when he saw it, and when they saw it, they all grumbled. Anybody got some they in your life? Some grumblers? Like something good happened in your life, and they're just like, I bet they cheated. And you're like, what? Like, why are you always hating? They all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. I don't have time to dig into this, guys. But like, do you know they called Jesus a drunkard and a sinner when he was alive? And you know why? Because of the company he kept. Sometimes today we can get so religious, our company looks nothing like Jesus's company. And I love that overflow. I mean, I've gotten to know some of you and you're jacked up. And I'm really messed up too. And I'm really jacked up. And I love that our company looks a lot like Jesus's company. Can I get an amen? That's so good. You online, I know you're not. You are not messed up at all. I appreciate it. No. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. What a response to God moving in your life, right? Like, we just kind of gloss over that in the story. Said Jesus was like, Zac, I'm coming to your house today. And then Zach's like, cool. And he brings him to his house. And then he says, hey, I'm going to give away half of all my assets because to the poor, to people that need it, just because you've been so good to me, Jesus. And if I've wronged anybody, he didn't say I'm going to make it right. He said, I'm not going to double down. I'm not going to triple down. If I've ever wronged you, I'm going to pay you back four times as much. That is the power of Jesus moving in someone's life. I mean, that. Imagine today, I said this in the first service, like we hear this, Jesus moves in somebody's life and somebody online sells half of everything they own and just donate it right there. Like we would be like, what a radical, right? That's not, by the way, radical, the root word of radical, it's saying where we get radish from. It actually means root. So to be radical is to call people back to the root, to call people back to something. That's not radical. That's the way it's been from the beginning. When God's generosity floods our lives, the only correct response is to allow generosity flood through our lives. And I love that Zach got it from square one. And behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone, I restore it fourfold. Verse 9, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. Verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I love that last verse. Son of Man is like a nickname Jesus gave himself. It was kind of an Old Testament prophecy. The Son of Man, in other words, God came and he was the Son of Man, kind of the second Adam. And he was saying, I came to seek and to save the lost. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I have felt lost. And it's so encouraging and refreshing to remember that I have a God that is seeking me. He's not a God waiting for me to find him. He has been a God that's coming, that's knocking on my heart, on the door of my heart, that's always pursuing me. And what I love about God, side note, is God is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on you. Side note, that'll preach today, dating. But God is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on you. He's just always there. Hey, I'm here when you're ready. I'm here when you're ready. And he's saying that to some of you online today, right here in the room today. I'm here. I'm here when you're ready. And here Jesus was there when he was ready. And what I love about this whole thing is it all happened on the premise of just passing through. Jesus did not have Zacchaeus on his agenda, right? Like, imagine the disciples. The disciples had to be frustrated with Jesus by this point because he was always stopping. He always had a destination. Hey, we're going to Jerusalem. Hey, we're going to Jericho. Hey, we're going to Sea of Galilee. Hey, we're going to the Decapolis. Like, he always had a destination, and it always seemed like while they were walking, something would happen. And you got to know the disciples, especially Matthew, because he was like a tax collector, very numbers-oriented. You know, he was organized. He had to be like, Jesus, it's 5:15. We're not going to make the boat. Like, you got to know that these disciples were so frustrated with Jesus sometimes. And right here, what I love, one of the things I like to say is a lot of people like to study the steps of Jesus. I like to study the stops of Jesus. because most of his miracles happened when he was interrupted. I'm going to say that again. Most of Jesus' miracles happened when he was interrupted. How many of us want to see God's miracles in our life? How many of us are willing to be interrupted? You got your plan for tomorrow, right? We got our agenda for the week. How many of us are willing when God brings that Zacchaeus into our lives or brings that Cheryl into our lives, able to go, whoop, I don't need my agenda. I want God to move. Most of God's miracles happens in interruptions. And here, as Jesus was just passing through, I want to point out four quick points for us on how we can capitalize on the passing through moments, how we can ultimately evangelize, to use the Christianese word. Evangelize, again, just means to share our faith, how we can effectively evangelize in the passing through. The first thing I wrote down here, and I usually like to be encouraging, but these are four don'ts. Don'ts. These are four things you don't want to do if you want to see God's miracles in your everyday life. The first thing I wrote down here is don't miss it. Don't miss it. On the count of three, everybody say don't miss it. One, two, three.
Don't miss it.
Why do I say don't miss it? Because exactly what we said. Jesus was just passing through. I told you at the beginning of the message that I have a decent amount of international travel coming up. And while I was packing this week, it reminded me of the first time I ever traveled internationally. I grew up on the Gulf Coast of Florida. I love surfing. I heard there's some great surfing up here. Joel says there's a wind swell every now and then. Can't wait to do it. Yay, like Michigan surfing. Some of you are looking at me like, bro, he lied to you. But I love surfing. I always wanted to surf on the Pacific Ocean. And so my junior year of college, I convinced four buddies of mine. We bought like the cheapest flight we could. Good old Spirit Airlines. You get what you pay for. It's amazing. I love it. It's a bargain. Just bring the Holy Spirit with you. So we flew Spirit Airlines down to Guatemala. And the plan was to pass through the country, get to the West Coast, and surf. And so we're just kind of passing through Guatemala, and through a friend of a cousin of a nephew of a friend, we have like this mutual connection in this place called Panajachel, which was this lake up in the mountains in Guatemala. And we stop there and we hear this friend of a friend's cousin or whatever owns a coffee shop. So we just stop into the coffee shop and we're checking out. And this guy is like super passionate about coffee. You know, it's like the type that like he knows where the beans come from. He had actually like harvested the beans himself from local farms in Guatemala. It was amazing. He's just super passionate. So we start talking to him about coffee. He starts talking to us about our lives, what we're doing, how we know each other. Well, we know each other because we all used to play in church bands together. And then he points at a stage in the coffee shop like this and he goes, y'all want to play tonight? And we were like, yeah. Sure. So we booked a gig in Guatemala and Panajachel that night. And then we need some money to buy some lunch and some of his coffee because we want to support him. So we go to a bank and we're waiting in the ATM line, just passing through Guatemala. And I'll never forget this. My buddy Noah, the bass player, is behind me. And all of a sudden, Noah strikes up a conversation in Spanish, English, Spanglish with this Guatemalan guy behind us. And that's normal. Noah's kind of extroverted. I was like, good for you. And I'll never forget it. All of a sudden, I hear like from behind me, it sounded like Noah was praying. And I was just like, what? We're in the bank line in Guatemala. Like, what? And I turn, and pre-COVID, Noah has his hand on this Guatemalan guy's shoulder, and he's just praying for him, and the Guatemalan guy is crying. And I'm like, in the bank line? In another country? And then Noah watched the whole thing. Noah goes, amen, bro. Gives the guy a hug and says, I'll see you tonight. And the guy was like, thank you so much, and walks away. And I was like, Noah, what was that? And he goes, I just started talking to the guy, telling him about the coffee shop, telling him we're playing. He asked what we play. I said, we play in church. He said he's been wanting to know more about God in church because he's going through a really tough time. Asked if I could pray for him. Said if he comes tonight, we'll lead him in the salvation prayer. And I was like, what? Sure enough, the guy came back that night, gave his life to Christ, all because we were just passing through in the line at the bank. And Noah went, well, there's a person. Let's see if they need Jesus. Like, I love the, and it blew my mind up because I was like, how many times in life am I just passing through and God is waiting to do the miraculous, but I'm too caught up in the mundane. Like, I'm just caught up. I wrote it like this in my notes. I said, we wait for the spectacular and miss the supernatural. Often we wait for the spectacular, like, right? Like I said in the first service, like in church world, especially, like we plan, we're like, ooh, Easter, Christmas series kickoff. Like every weekend we have all these plans and volunteers come together in kids ministry. And it's like, we're prepping for the spectacular and there's nothing wrong with that. But often the supernatural is waiting for us in the parking lot. The supernatural is waiting for us in the conversation in the lobby. The supernatural was waiting for us in the lunch after service. The gathering of God's people, the Bible says the reason we gather is to spur one another on or stir one another up and equip each other for the work of the ministry. That's why we gather. So to spur, that's an equestrian term, you know, like horseback riding. It means we should make each other so uncomfortable that we come out of here like a pinball in a pin machine, ready to reach our community all the more. That's why we gather, to stir one another up, to spur one another on, and to run out here in the pass-through moments and watch God work, because we don't want to miss it. Somebody say, don't miss it. There was this old hymn I grew up singing. Some of you may know it. If you grew up in the church, it was called Be Thou My Vision. It's my favorite hymn. And the first line of that hymn says, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that Thou art. And we don't speak like that anymore with those and thous and shalls and all that. But to translate it, it just means, God, will you help me to see like you? Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. You are Lord of my heart. You're Lord over every area of my life. Don't be anything else to me unless you're my vision first. And the Lord of my heart. I love that. How would our lives change if we saw people the way Jesus saw them? So the first thing I wrote here is don't miss it. And the next thing I wrote down here is don't be weird. Don't be weird. Look at somebody and say, don't be weird. Online, don't be weird. Look at somebody. Don't. Now why do I say that? Because a lot of times we over-spiritualize Jesus. He was just passing through this town. And one translation, he says, he looks at Zacchaeus in a tree and he says, hey, come down. I'm going to go to your house. Another translation, he says, hey, I'm coming to do dinner with you. Another translation says, hey, I'd like to have a meal with you. In other words, Jesus was walking, sees a dude up in a tree. He's a wealthy guy in town. He had probably heard about him, knew who he was, and says, hey, want to do dinner? Want to do lunch? Like, how many of you have ever been hungry in your life? Raise your hand. Right? So now you have something in common with 6 billion other people around the world. You could strike up a conversation. I love that Jesus just wasn't weird. He was authentic. Walking, yo, Zach, you want to grab some lunch? Right? It's just so good. Here's why I say that. Like, don't be the weird Christian. Like, here, as Christians, we are called to be a peculiar people. The Bible uses that word. The reason we're peculiar, the reason we're different is because this is not our home. This is a pilgrimage. Our home is in heaven. Our home is with Jesus. So there is a different set of values, a different perspective, a supernatural peace we have that makes us maybe seem a little peculiar or weird. But when it comes to relating to people, just be you. Just be authentic. Like, I gave the example in the first service. Like, I don't know why, but I've just had this experience with multiple baristas. Like, you ever meet the weird Christian barista? No offense, Joel. He is a Christian and a barista. You're not the weird one, bro. But like, he really isn't. He's the antithesis of what I'm about to talk about. But you've ever like met like the weird Christian at your workplace, like the weird Christian barista. You walk in and they're like, welcome to Hebrews. The man should always brew the coffee. Get it? It's in the Bible. And you're like, what are you talking about? And then they're like, hey, I have a cup of coffee just for you. And I wrote John 3:16 on the Bible. And the Holy Spirit's telling me I have a word for you. Are you struggling with sexual temptation right now? And you're like, bro, I'm in the middle of the coffee shop. Will you just give me my coffee? And then they put like the little cross in their foam and they're like, I blessed it and put anointing oil on it. And you're like, okay, I don't want it anymore, right? And they're like, be blessed. And they're like, you're like, dude, too much, right? Hashtag too much. And like, people like that, sometimes it's like, okay, get, like, even I'm a pastor and I'm like, bro, like, too much. But you know what would make me want to talk to them? If they brewed an amazing cup of coffee. Like, the Bible says it like this. If you don't want to miss it and you want to be authentic like Jesus, Proverbs 18, verse 16 says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the great. Proverbs 22, 29, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. So do you want influence in people's life? Yes, you know how to get it. Be really good at what God has gifted you in. That's how you gain influence in people's life. If you're a clothing designer, you don't have to put a Christian fish on the back of every jeans. Just make amazing jeans. And then people will be like, these jeans are amazing. You'll be like, thank you. And they'll be like, man, I want to know about your business, your company. Why do you put all this time into it? Well, it just kind of comes from where I believe in my heart. Like, I believe in a God that, you know, loved me so much. He sacrificed. So I just want to sacrifice so people can see a little bit of him and everything I make. What? Tell me more about that. You're a middle school teacher? Be the best middle school teacher. Every kid wants to be in your classroom. Why? Well, because I'm awesome because my God's awesome, right? Like, if we want to impact this community, like, I think Christ followers should be the hardest working, most productive people in their workplace. Can I get an amen? Right? Like, we should just be known for showing up early and staying late. We should just be known for covering from people. Why? Not because we want something from them, but because we already got something from him. And so I wrote here, don't miss it. Don't be weird. And then I wrote this, don't hesitate. Everybody say, don't hesitate. See, there's a verse here that pops out at me. Jesus says, hurry, I must stay at your house today. You catch those three words? Hurry, must, today. Those words are imperative. They're proactive. That is like, it's got to go down now. I wrote it in my notes on that surf trip. Once we finally got out to the ocean, one of my favorite things was watching my four friends learn to surf. Most of them did not know how. And there's this moment in surfing, like there's a lot of parts of it. You know, you grab your board, you wax it up, you go out in the water, you duck dive under the waves, you get out past the break. And then there's this moment when a swell comes and you feel the energy of the ocean underneath you and you get brave enough to paddle down on a wave and you start to paddle and all of a sudden, literally nature itself starts to propel you down the face of this wave. And there comes this moment, and it always happens, where you have to pop up on the board. Like, you just have to pop up. Like, as I'm saying this, some of you are like, yeah. Like, pop up means this. Like, pop up. Like, that's what you have to do. But what happens is in surfing, a lot of people get scared in this moment, and they hesitate, and so they start to climb up on their board. And as you climb up, you lose balance, and you wipe out. The only way to achieve success in a surf ride is to pop up, is to not hesitate. I love Jesus here with Zacchaeus because he saw Zacchaeus in the tree. The metaphorical wave was swelling, and he just popped up on Zacchaeus. Hey, Zach, want to grab a meal? Your place? Mine? I don't have one. Huh? Yours, right? Like, I'm just passing through. But he just popped up. Everybody say pop up. 1, 2, 3.
Pop up.
You just need to pop up on somebody this week. Like, when the Holy Spirit prompts you, like that, you want to know how to get to know the Holy Spirit's voice? Just start to pop up. Like, you're in the line at the drive-thru, and you just have this inkling, pay for the person behind you. And you're like, is that God or indigestion? Like, what is that? Just try it. Just pop up. Don't hesitate. I don't know. God's telling me. See what happens. Hey, God's telling me to invite my coworker to Overflow. That's terrifying. Pop up. Just pop up. Just try it. Hey, you want to go to church with me? Nah, I'll buy you lunch after. Where? Like, all right, let's go. Just pop up. Don't hesitate. And then the last thing I wrote down here, don't miss it. Don't be weird. Don't hesitate. And I wrote, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Everybody say, don't be afraid on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Awesome. And Joelle, again, we can bring keys up here and make it sound spiritual. That's how you know a pastor's ending, when you hear the music. Unless they're Pentecostal, that means they have at least 5 more points. And I'm a little bit of both, so we'll see. Now, don't be afraid. Like, again, watching my buddies surf, it was so funny. You know, they were so timid because the Pacific Ocean waves are thick and powerful. This was a pretty intense place to learn how to surf. And I'll never forget my buddy Seth. He's like this 6'2", big old Filipino dude. And he goes and he catches his first wave. And I watched him. And sure enough, he didn't pop up. He hesitated and he tried to climb. And I mean, this dude just wiped out like epic. It was hilarious. I was on the shore laughing at him, kind of hoping he wasn't drowning, but mainly laughing. And then Seth like comes up out of the water and he turns and he has the biggest smile on his face. You know why? Because he wasn't dead. He realized wiping out isn't the worst thing that can happen. And he was no longer afraid to try. I just want to end our time with an exercise real quick. Hold on. Hold the music 1 second. You sound beautiful, but I don't think you can hear me in my ears. 1 second. I'm going to do an exercise, then we'll cue you. Awesome. That was my fault, not yours. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at somebody right now. Just find somebody and stare at them. Online, if you're watching, look at them. Now, as you're looking at them, give them the meanest look you can give. Like, right? Just, And on the count of three, I want you to say the word no as angry as you can at them. Ready? Some of you have been waiting to do this, right? All right, here we go. Ready? Mean, mean, mean. Look at them. 1, 2, 3. No! Okay, good. Now, you just experienced in North America, Jamaica, any free country, probably the absolute worst thing that could ever happen to you if you try and share your faith or invite somebody to church. They're not going to punch you in the face. They're not going to arrest you here. the worst thing in a wipeout in evangelism. Yeah. Hear that? Spirit, right? No. The worst thing that can happen to you in inviting someone to church or sharing your faith is they say no. And you know what you realize after someone says no? I'm still alive. I'm okay. We don't have to be afraid. My life verse, 2 Timothy 1:7, is just a verse I clung to as a child. I don't have any tattoos, but if I did, this would probably be one of them. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know what that means? If you're afraid of it, it's not of God. If you're afraid of it, that feeling is of the enemy or of your flesh. You were never meant to be afraid. Isn't that like refreshing to think about? Now, I'm not talking about stupidity. I'm not like shark's mouth, jump in it. Like there's still wisdom and prudency and caution. But I'm talking about fear. Another translation, the New International Version, NIV, says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity." It even brings it down further. Like as a Christ follower, you're not even supposed to be timid. What? Like another way to say that is you're never supposed to be insecure about anything. Wouldn't that change the way we walk? Wouldn't that change the way we talk to people? You see Zacchaeus in a tree or Joe sitting on the bench and it's like, "Bro, want to grab some lunch?" "No." "All right, cool." And then like, you keep moving. Why? Because you're not afraid of it. You're not afraid of rejection. You don't need to be accepted by them because you've already been accepted by him. Like your security is found not in their opinion, but rather your identity and your king. We don't have to be afraid. Overflow, I just encourage us this week. It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a good week. I don't know, because it's going to be good. No matter what happens, Jesus is on the throne. We don't have to be afraid. It's going to be a good week. Wake up tomorrow. I dare you. I didn't even say this before. I dare you, especially if you're married. I dare you. Wake up tomorrow, and as soon as you think about it in the morning, wake up and go, "Whoa!" Your husband or wife will be like, "What?" And just go, "I'm just grateful. I'm alive. Let's go. I'm about to pop up on somebody today because I'm ready for God to work in the passing through moments." Where are we passing through tomorrow? Where are we passing through Wednesday? Ask God to give you his eyes. Don't miss it. Don't be weird. Don't hesitate. And don't be afraid. And God will work miracles in your week and in my week. Let's pray.